Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Well, it's football season. High school and college football is getting started around the country, and there was a story, Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
There's a story that we covered, we've been covering for a few years, Steve. Tell us about that, and we have a guest.
Yeah, so up in Washington State at Bremerton High School, there was a coach there. His name is Joe Kennedy, and he had a habit of going to midfield after a game, I think win or lose, and pray, thanking God that people were safe for the game. And boy, the ACLU and people like that did not like that at all, so they sued separation church and state. Joe Kennedy won his case, and
he joins us.
He is joining us, and I guess either this week or next week, Coach, you got a football game to coach. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Yes, it is this Friday, and it's going to be an interesting one. It's actually an international one. We're having people come down from Canada to come down and play us.
Are you using the 55-yard football field or the regular 100-yard one?
Yeah, they're going to have to just use ours. We're not adjusting ours.
Hey, Coach, how long has it been since you were fired?
Well, this will be the 9th football season, so we went through this battle for 8 years.
Wow. Why did it take so long?
I keep asking myself that, and I kept asking my lawyers the same thing. I thought the justice system was very streamlined, and like on Law and Order, something happened, you go to trial, and the next day you're either in jail or you're walking free. But nope, we had loss after loss after loss, and it went to the Supreme Court twice, actually. And so we had to just navigate through the court systems, and it took forever to finally have the Supreme Court hear it and rule on the facts.
Yeah, you and I met 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. You may not remember that. My name's Tim Wildman. We met in Washington, D.C. at the Values Voters Summit.
Yep, I sure do.
We gave you an award. You still have that?
I have that award right beside my bed. It's been on my wall ever since.
Oh, well, that's awesome, man, because we wanted to honor you and your commitment and to religious freedom and your commitment to Christ. So let me ask you this. How does it work exactly when you're removed from your job, the school district said, hey, you can't pray, it's a violation of church and state, and then you fight it out in the court system. Again, folks, to remind you, this wasn't in the locker room. Nobody was compelled to participate. This was Coach Kennedy himself and then whoever wanted to join him. What happened was they let you go, fired you, whatever, you terminated. Then 9 years later, the court says you are owed your job back. How does that work? Because didn't they already have a coach? I mean, how does that work exactly?
Yeah, see, they have a whole new coaching staff. Over 8 years, a lot of things changed.
Sure.
And the whole entire coaching staff has changed out. And so, I could have pushed the issue and, demanded my job back specifically. But I got a soft spot for other coaches, and I didn't want to take another coach's position who's worked for 8 years to get that position.
Okay, so you're back on the coaching staff. You're not the head coach.
Yes.
I got you.
Yep, I'm on the coaching staff, and I'm out there with my guys every day out on the field, running up and down the field. And
gotcha. Fred, go ahead.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Coach Kennedy. I'm anxious because I seem to remember there was a complaint from a parent or two in the initial days of all of this that some of the players felt intimidated if they didn't go to the center field with you. And I'm just wondering, how has been the community reaction, parents' reaction to you coming back?
You know, I haven't had too much, just mostly the people that I used to coach. And the actual funny thing about this whole entire thing was, this whole investigation started with a compliment from somebody from another school district that saw our football game. It wasn't until, we got to the Supreme Court, they all of a sudden they said, there's somebody who had a problem with this. And I said, please tell me who that person is. Let's interview them. Go find them. Nobody could ever produce anybody. So talk about a fabricated story. Yeah, that was never the case. They just made up their own narrative at times.
So, Coach, what position do you coach?
I coach with running backs and linebackers. I've been out there working with those guys specifically.
Isn't that kind of a conflict because you're teaching one to run over the other and the other would run over him? How do you do that exactly?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it is that, you know, when you teach one position, you know how to evade the other, which helps hone the other skills. So I think they work really good together to have that competition between the two.
Ray, did you have any questions for Coach?
Yeah, Coach Ray Pritchard here. We admire so much your tenacity and your perseverance. And I want to ask you a question about that. 9 years is a long time. There must have been moments when, particularly when the court system is, you're going up the ladder, so to speak, and it's kicked back down and you can't get any resolution. Was there ever a moment when you said, this isn't worth it. I'm going to quit fighting this fight. If that moment ever came, what kept you in the battle so long?
I wish I could have a true warrior and hero answer, but no, every day I wanted to quit. Every day there was something new that came up. Only thing I ever wanted, like I said, it was just I wanted to coach football and be able to thank God afterwards. It wasn't that big of an ask as far as I was concerned. And it just seemed ridiculous to have to go through a court system just to go over there and be thankful for a football game. And there was every day that I was like, is this worth it? And every day I was constantly reminded, yes. I took the oath of enlistment to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I just didn't know it was going to be domestic and as I was a civilian. So, yeah, you never stop being a Marine, and the Marines never quit. And that's what I tell my guys. If I'm out there coaching, I don't care how tired they are. I don't care how uncomfortable. I don't care, you know, what is going on in your life, but you've got to fight for the right thing. And if I would have given up at any one of those times, there is no way I could have been a father. I couldn't have been a husband. And I sure as heck couldn't have been a coach to look people in the eye and say, oh, well, I gave up because it was hard and it was discomforting to me. No, I had to keep doing this. And it too much relied on it. We're talking about the First Amendment of the Constitution. If somebody's not going to stand up for that, we would have just lost that. That would have been horrible for Americans.
Coach Joe Kennedy joining us. We're going to let you go, Coach, from the state of Washington, Bremerton High School. First Liberty, they're friends of ours. They are the legal firm that represented you for all these years. And they did so pro bono. In English, that's free. Am I right, those guys?
Nailed it.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, Coach, we wish you the best tomorrow night. And thanks for being on with us and for, you know, hanging in there all these years. And ultimately, you got a win. And it's a win for our Constitution, the First Amendment. And we hope that you'll get a win tomorrow night against those mean old Canadians.
Yeah, you know, we're called to fight the good fight, and I'm trying to finish that race. So tomorrow night is going to be – I see the finish line finally in view, so yeah. It's been a good haul.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Take care. We'll talk again sometime. All right, that's Joe Kennedy, the head high school coach from Bremerton. Should have asked him, Bremerton High School. Is that –
Around Seattle.
It's out kind of on an island offshore, you know, where the space
the sound.
The Space Needle is. You look across there, and that's where Bremerton is.
That is one beautiful city.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
The setting.
Yeah.
The natural beauty and the city of Seattle on the, what sound is it? Puget?
Puget Sound.
You've been there, Ray?
I have been. They're one of the most beautiful parts of America. just everywhere you look, it's beautiful there.
Do you know that there's a little part of America that you can't get to without going through Canada at the north part of the Puget Sound unless you take a ferry?
It's Point Roberts.
Yeah.
Point Roberts. It's weird how the line, the national kind of border between Canada and the United States go. But, yeah, the kids that go to school from Point Roberts have to go through Canada to get to school.
Really?
It's a weird one. We used to go down. We lived very near there. We used to go down there to get cheap gas.
Right.
So, and it's the weirdest thing. You have Point Roberts. It's out on a little peninsula. And so you're in Canada, in your backyard, the kids are playing baseball. And if somebody hits the ball into the United States. Now, before 9/11, that wasn't a problem.
Right.
You know, they just go get.
But then who touched the baseball and gave COVID to Canada? That's what they want to know here. Well, I've been there. We've all been there, right? Seattle area. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, Allison, we went to visit some friends who live in Linden. Linden.
Yes, Dutch community. Beautiful.
Linden, Washington, which was, so we landed in Seattle and got a car, rental car, and then we drove.
Up the five, mm-hmm. I-5.
Up the five.
To Bellingham.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it, to Bellingham and then to Linden.
Yeah.
Went to their house in Linden. Mm-hmm. But you're right, if you've never been to that part of the country before like we hadn't, that was just, wow, just the natural beauty. But I got home. We got back, and I said to my fellow Mississippians, and we're used to pine trees, right?
That's right.
I said, let me tell you something. I've been to yonder forest in the Pacific Northwest, and we only think we know what trees are.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some towering, beautiful, majestic trees.
Yeah.
That drive from Seattle all the way up to Linden, which is almost on the Canadian border.
Pretty close.
What are those? Are those big spruce trees? What are they?
Redwoods. Redwoods and sequoia.
Sequoia.
Oh, they
which
were.
Which is a type of redwood, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were.
You get cedar trees there, too. Large.
These trees were going 100 feet high, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or more. Probably 200 feet. I don't know. They were tall.
There's a tree that it was kind of famous. It's been around for a while. I think it's still around, where they had ran a road right through the tree. You could drive your car.
You're talking about the Redwoods National Forest in California.
In California.
Same type of trees.
It's also in the World Book, isn't it, Ray?
It is. The World Book. Who remembers the World Book, right?
Oh, I remember World Book.
Hey,
had
do you
on
think-
the shelf.
The World Book, do you think those are worth keeping? Because I know somebody, a family member, who's cleaning out stuff. Let me just say that.
Okay.
They're cleaning out stuff after years and years and years of having stuff. And they've come to the World Book. they've come to the World Book decision on whether to toss them.
How old are the World Books?
You're talking about 50 years.
Okay.
Can you sell those in an antique store?
You probably could get a few dollars for them, right? A used bookstore.
It's one of those things, you know, we all have them.
You know, 50 years
you
ago.
You don't know whether to throw them away or to keep them.
50 years ago, there were only two genders, so they're not good anymore. You can't trust them.
You can't trust anything.
Yeah.
The World Books, the Encyclopedia Britannicas, do you keep them or chunk them?
Oh, no. I would hold on to them because everything old is coming back.
Yeah.
Vinyl records?
Oh, vinyl records, record players.
But these are World Books that are 50 years old. So a lot of the things that are in there, the information may not be relevant anymore.
It sounds to me like you're on the side of tossing them.
Well, I'm 50-50 on toss. I get in a tossing mood. I'll just start tossing.
Right. You get in that mood.
You start minimizing. And then then I get bipolar or I guess it's schizophrenia.
Here's what you have to do.
I can't throw this away.
Go on Amazon.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And punch in
that's
World Book.
Punch in World Book and see how much they're worth.
go on eBay. See, and
or
see,
eBay. Yeah.
The eBay.
Think probably a lot of people would want to keep them for decorative purposes. Some people use them. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Type in that, Steve. Type in what's the value of a 1970 World Book collection.
All right.
Just type it in. Type it in and see what comes up right there. Do your research there, and I'll check out what a Paisley shirt's worth. okay. So what do you, Brent, do you have this already? All right, tell us, Brent, while Steve continues his research. What is a 1970 World Book collection worth?
According to eBay, of course, there's different folks got them on there, but I've seen them for $200, $100, but I've also seen $40, $30.
Is there anybody on there saying, take them off by my hands? Okay, so they're worth $100, $200 maybe to some people.
Yeah. $150, yep.
I'm looking at our Facebook feed. It's 9-0 in favor of keeping them.
On Amazon, said, however, yeah. 1 year later, a 22-volume set of 1976 World Book Encyclopedias plus the Year in Science, I think is what it is, they want $500 for that.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're talking some money.
$500?
$500.
Oh, well, that's worth selling them then, not throwing them away, mm-hmm. if you don't want to keep them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, well, that's a bunch of heavy, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, probably keep them. Okay, 9-0 on our Facebook page.
It's now 13-0. People are climbing in fast.
Don't throw the World Books away.
Don't throw them away. That's
there
right.
You go. Keep them.
All right. Okay. For those people, I want to say, okay, you tell me then, what are we supposed to throw away here? Because don't we get all down to this?
Yes.
I knew.
Do you throw away your old National Geographics?
I could toss
them. I used to have stacks of those.
I don't know. I can't. That's a moral dilemma right there.
I can toss with the best of them, but I have a hard time getting rid of books. I kind of have.
Oh, no, I agree. Books, but I'm. I knew. There was a friend of mine and his wife, and they were in Memphis. They went to Memphis. This is 5 years ago. And they're our age, my age, 60. And so the lady friend of ours, her mom had passed away. She was in her mid-80s. She passed away. She was a widow at the time, but it took them 2 weeks to clean out her house.
Oh, sure.
With a big garbage bin, mm-hmm. huh? That they were tossing stuff out of the second story window.
Right, right.
And anyway, Allison, my wife said that we don't want to be those people to leave our kids with a month of cleanup to find out what to chunk away. So we need
seven cats.
Chunk as we go,
yeah.
type thing. So I was just curious. So all right, we'll keep the World Books in.
Yeah, it's 16-0 now.
Wow.
Everybody,
not even close. Probably a lot of people saying, "I can't believe you would even consider." But if you take that attitude toward everything, you'll not throw anything away hardly.
That's right.
Huh? That's a sermon right there. Ray.
When you get to that point, though, you have an estate sale, and you let people come in and they give you whatever.
Yeah, they pick over your life's collections and offer you a quarter. Offer you a quarter for something.
But they come and take it away from.
Well, that's true.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah, is that, you're talking about a garage sale?
No, estate sale. Well, you could have garage sales, yes. But estate sales, a company comes in, they basically price everything,
okay.
and they sell it for you right at your house.
Well, for my friends in Memphis, this wasn't.
No.
This was just junk.
Junk, okay.
Because her mom was a half hoarder. You know what I'm saying?
That happens.
So.
Did you say half hoarder?
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't.
I've never heard
she
that.
Well, she wasn't be featured on television hoarder.
Okay.
But she was half hoarder, which was, you know what I'm saying?
I got a half hoarder of fries.
You keep too much stuff, right. but it doesn't clog up your whole den and kitchen where
right.
police have to come in there and condemn your house. Like these hoarders on TV. Yeah. See these poor people.
I know.
Huh?
That is sad.
You know, you seen this?
Yeah, that is sad.
All right, Steve, back to hard news.
Hard news. Well, Riley Gaines, one of our favorite people, was out there, and she made a statement supporting a.
She's the swimmer.
She's the swimmer, and she swam for Kentucky, She's been speaking out on women in women's sports, restricting women's sports to women. Anyway, she was speaking out in favor of a women's bill of rights in Nebraska. And our, you remember Keith Olbermann? You ever wonder what happened to Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, used to be a sports center. Really.
No, he's just, a sports he's, center he, guy.
Yes, I know.
Well, he was having, he's very, very liberal. And he tweets this out. He says, can you just address, this is to Riley Gaines, can you just address the reality and move past it? You sucked at swimming. That's why you lost.
No, she didn't.
This is his reality. To which Riley Gaines tweets back, says, ah, makes sense now why you got fired from ESPN.
She dunked on him right there. Yeah. Listen, she was a, I don't know if she swam, I don't think she swam in the Olympics, but she was a NCAA champion.
Yes.
And so forth. Tremendous. All right, what else you got, Steve?
All right. So the Maui fires are history. We're still debating. I don't know if you played the Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We don't want to play any more of her.
No. I don't have more Jean-Pierre.
We're not playing any more of her.
I will tell you that Joe Biden trotted out the My House Burned Down line again yesterday. So we sent him to a meeting, and we snuck some microphones into this meeting. And I just want you to hear a little bit about the meeting that Joe Biden attended in order to kind of help him get past this. Can we hear, please? What? Cut. You know what cut it is?
I'm looking. Hello. My name is Tommy Flanagan, and I'm a member of Pathological Liars Anonymous. In fact, I'm the president of that organization. Lied about my age and joined the army. I was 13 at the time. Yeah. I went to Vietnam, and they made me a 3-star general. And then I got a job in journalism, writing for the National Geographic. Yeah, I was making $20,000 a month.
Lightning struck my house. We had to be out of that house for about 7 months while it was repaired because so much damage was done to the house, and half the house almost collapsed.
That was cut seven.
Was that Saturday Night Live back in the day?
John Lovitz.
Yeah. Is that the guy who used to say, yeah, that's the ticket.
That's the ticket. Him.
He would just,
that was his character.
He would just, the whole skit was him making up stuff on the,
right,
as he went along. That was easily proven.
Which sounds awful familiar nowadays, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, when people have everything destroyed, you don't talk about your kitchen fire at your house. That's just,
he's added to it, by the way. He almost lost half the house is now what this is morphed into.
I don't know the guy. Anyway, all right, what do we got 30 seconds?
Yeah,
20. So you got any 20 second stuff, Steve, or not?
Yes, I do. Do you know that
10 seconds, Steve.
Mitch McConnell has unveiled his re-election campaign slogan. It is,
That's bad, Steve. That's Steve Dordal, ladies and gentlemen. Don't send emails to that. Fred, Tim, and Ray. We have compassion.
Nothing to do with that.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Thank you, Fred.
All righty.
Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thanks, Jim.
Let's see. Thanks to everybody else who was on the show today.
Jeff Shambly.
Chris
Coach
Woodward.
Kennedy.
Coach Kennedy. Is that it? Is that everybody? Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer. Tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll have Trivia Friday here. So join us for some edumacation and some fun. See you back here then.